this is Mac DeMarco. I never went to college, but now I'm all over the radio stations. Peace.
Guest station engineer, and you're listening to BFF.FM. Oh, the cable's fucked up.
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Jessica, and I'm here with Leah. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Sunday.
Welcome to the sixth annual TV on the radio Super Bowl extravaganza.
Yes. The place for all of your football, soccer needs, whatever.
Yes. Soccer. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite a historic day. It's Super Bowl LIV, Super Bowl LIV, the first female Super Bowl.
It's incredible,
you guys. What a time to be alive.
Very exciting.
My computer is super fucked up, so if you have any thoughts about Super Bowl LIV or CTE or anything you want to share with us, please write it on the back of a MacBook Air and send it to BFF.FM. That would be great. Okay, well, today we're actually going to dedicate at least part of our Super Bowl extravaganza to talking about the Netflix documentary Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. Did you follow the Aaron Hernandez saga as it was unfolding some
few years ago? But I do remember hearing that Aaron Hernandez died, had killed himself. And I remember just being like, well, that was the sum of my thoughts on that. I was like, fuck that guy. And after watching the Aaron Hernandez Inside the Mind of a Killer or whatever, yeah, I don't know, man. It's a wild story.
It's crazy.
It's really fucking crazy.
I didn't follow it closely, but I remember sort of tracking what was happening as it was going on, that a Patriots player was arrested for murder.
Yeah, I was up on that.
And then I remember him killing himself in prison, and then I remember reading about his brain getting analyzed and the revelation that he had advanced brain damage.
Yeah.
The mind, I remember what stuck in my head was that he had like the brain damage of like a 60 or 70 year old person with dementia.
And he was 27 when he died.
Yes. but the documentary, which is three parts, there's a lot going on. It was really an even wilder ride than those few facts would suggest. What did you think of the documentary?
I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was well done. There was a lot made of some allegedly explosive revelations about his sexuality. I didn't feel like it was particularly sensationalized in the documentary. And I thought that, yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I viewed the documentary wanting it to be about CTE and the NFL. And
I thought more of it would focus on that.
Yeah, and it truly was just the story of Aaron Hernandez's life, which is fine. But, I mean, ultimately it wasn't fine. But anyway.
It was very much not fine.
Yeah, but, yeah, so it was just a different... In my mind, I thought that it was just going to be a searing reprimand of the NFL, and it wasn't that.
Well, it did, yeah, it sort of panned back and focused on, I mean, my takeaway was that Aaron Hernandez was the like perfect storm of the bad shit that could happen to a person. He his father was abusive by his family's accounting. His father was like a sort of local
hero,
like a you know, small time football legend. He didn't play in the NFL, did he?
I don't believe
he was like some sort of small time local football guy. But abusive. Aaron Hernandez was apparently gay or bisexual, and you know, because of football culture and toxic masculinity, etc., like didn't feel like he could ever come out. Like everyone said, his father would have beaten it out of him if he had tried to come out of it to his father.
Yeah, a lot of internalized self-hatred, obviously. Yeah.
I don't know. His mom didn't seem like a particularly warm and maternal person.
Yeah.
A lot was made of like the bad crowd he fell in with, which, I mean, you could argue that you make the decision to associate with bad people. But a lot of people, he was also just this big man child. And a lot of people kind of talked about it like, oh, he fell in with the wrong crowd. And like, these people from his hometown were a bad influence on him. You know, at this point, he is an adult, but still, I mean,
barely.
Yeah, barely. And yeah, played football his whole life and suffered hits to the head starting at a very young age. What am I missing? I don't know. Smoked too much pot, apparently.
Yeah, I think that this is totally just my interpretation of it, but I think that Aaron Hernandez probably he had some behavioral issue or developmental issue. He did not seem I just think it was probably compounded by 2 decades of being hit in the head repeatedly.
I mean, it definitely was like there's scientific proof that his brain was
oh
up.
Yeah
and his, like the kind of damage you suffer that like apparently the deterioration of your frontal lobe affects your
impulse control
and I don't, maybe empathy, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I do think it was just the perfect storm of everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And I think that the toxic masculinity played a huge part in who he was.
Yeah.
And this, you know, you mentioned how he was this man child, and seeing the footage of him playing and seeing just how physical, obviously, the game of football is, but just seeing this kid. I mean, he was 17 when he went to college and was playing football at Florida, whatever.
University of Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like UF. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm not sure. The Gators. FU, that probably whatever, means something to someone out there. I don't care.
But it truly was one of the first times in my life that I ever thought about what the fuck must it be like to live in a body like that. Like, it truly felt to me like, oh God, this is like a fucking toddler in this machine that he can, I mean, he's so out of his depth, you know. And I was and having obviously only my own experience to relate to of growing up as a female in the world and constantly being aware of your body and being aware of how you move through space and just everything, I had never really thought about what it must be like to be male and to be in this, this fucking machine that, like, he was 265 pounds at 17 years of age and just straight muscle. I mean, this kid, nobody denied that he worked extremely hard at football. And by all accounts, I don't know anything about football skills or talent or any of that, but by all accounts, he was extraordinarily talented.
It sounds like it, yeah.
And
he scored a Super Bowl touchdown at 22 years old.
Yeah, and I was able to run. I don't know, whatever else you need for football. He could do all that
he
shit.
He was a
but
tight end. I still have no idea what
I
that is.
I don't understand. I don't know why there were two of them on the field.
I think there's one for each end. That's my understanding. But if you know anything about football, don't tweet at us because we don't care.
Isn't your one team just going the one way? Like, there's not two ends, right?
Oh, I think like they're
like you're
you know what? I want to spend the rest of this show speculating about what different football positions.
So should they
do.
Just be called bookends instead of tight ends? Is my question.
I think
if they're at one
nerdy.
End of the team,
that doesn't appeal to the right.
I don't know. Anyway, I asked my husband about this, and he was like, "Not all teams have two tight ends." And I'm like,
"Oh, really?
Why are there fucking any rules in this
explosive revelation?
Stupid game. Fucking ridiculous. Stupid dumb game." Anyway, back to Aaron Hernandez. There was one scene in particular where he was being drafted. He was a problem at Florida. It showed early how he
had behavioral issues.
Had severe behavioral issues, including possibly a murder that has not been resolved. But had severe behavioral issues, and the Patriots ran a whole profile, as they do with every fucking essentially horse meat that they buy. Yeah. Like those, we'll get to that in a bit. But there was a scene where you saw him on the field working out, and he was just this hulking, handsome fucking kid. And then it flashed to his drive was off the charts, his like ability to follow orders, all these things that he excelled at. And then it was like social maturity was basically like
the lowest
whited out. Like, yeah. And I was like, what the fuck must it be like to have this machine that you're in charge of, basically your body, and just
and not, or not,
you're like a toddler driving a fucking Ferrari. Like, truly.
Yeah.
It just really made me have empathy for kids in that position.
I never thought about it that way. I always like, you know, the way we talk about privilege and whatnot now, it's like that form of body is like the extreme version of privilege.
Yeah.
Because you can walk through the world like unafraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
For what will physically happen to you. But yeah, I didn't think
you
about
do
it.
Feel like nothing can touch you, and pair that with your 11-year-old mentality, and it's like the worst fucking version of big. It's terrible.
Right, because he's being exploited by a giant corporate entity that is just going to use him until it doesn't have any use for him anymore. Yeah. And then he's spent his like entire but short adult life like just being used for his body and no one intervening for him.
And
I'm not excusing Aaron Hernandez's behavior. We'll get into how very conflicted I am about how he happened.
Yeah, I'm actually not conflicted about that, and I'm not confusing his behavior either. But I do think that the NFL has blood on its hands for constantly kicking the fucking can down the road with people that you know are an issue. Like, Aaron Hernandez had severe behavioral issues that then he suffered absolutely no consequences for at any point, and had the path cleared for him to go on to murder more people. Yeah. I mean, it's
which is true of so many people in the NFL who are like domestic abusers or get away with all sorts of shit and like suffered zero consequences most of the time. But yeah, I was so conflicted watching this because my instinct is always to empathize with people who are survivors of abuse or, you know, had to be closeted because of the environment they grew up in. And I really would have been on his side. And he just reads, like, there's a lot of recorded conversations between him and his family members and he and his fiance. And he just has this sort of like, he does sound like a child.
Yeah.
He has a sort of laconic, like, he obviously he's quick to anger in an extreme sense, but it doesn't seem like that when you're listening to these conversations. And I really just wanted to feel bad for him, but I keep coming back to the several times where he, like, it's not like these murders were crimes of passion. He got a fucking drink spilled on him in the club and then, like, hours later saw these guys driving away and shot them in cold blood.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I'm sorry. Yeah. He was actually acquitted of that crime, so maybe he didn't do that. But evidence points to... allegedly.
Yeah.
I believe that our the TV on the Radio General Counsel is probably listening to this episode.
Aaron Hernandez is not coming for us. Spoiler, guys, he's dead. Okay. I'm not worried about Aaron Hernandez shooting me because we said that he shot other people.
That's true.
If he was still alive, I would be.
But I mean, the nature of his crimes, his alleged crimes, he also, after having killed these two guys outside a club, you know, was paranoid about being caught for at least a year. And his close associate, Alexander Bradley, you know, was with him for a lot of this time. And I guess at some point said something to him that, like, you know, made his paranoia reach a boiling point. So he turned to his friend, shot him in the fucking face.
Yes.
That guy somehow allegedly survived. Yeah. He and went on to
Do more crimes.
Do a lot of stuff. But yeah, I mean, just the absolute cold-blooded, like, quick to shoot someone in the face nature. Like, that's something that I can't, like, a lot of people survive a lot of shit.
Yeah.
End up like that.
Wholeheartedly agree, but that is, I didn't read any of that as cold-blooded. I read all of that as dumb fucking shit. Like, Aaron Hernandez was not a smart guy. He had traumatic brain injuries that compounded to absolutely decimate his, like, functioning reason, basically. Yeah. And I do feel that this man showed absolutely no remorse for any of the crimes that he committed. And I don't think it even registered. That could be straight up sociopathy, or it could be literally not having the part of your brain that you need to register that you have murdered someone and to have consequences. This man killed people in a rental car, which he then returned with bullets still in it, and gum that he had been chewing to the bullet.
That was one of the moments where I was like, and they just listed all the evidence he left of this crime, including returning the rental car with bullets. He was on camera at the gas station buying this particular
gum,
like,
purple gum,
blue cotton candy flavored gum, which that detail kind of broke my heart.
Yeah.
And then, like, he, like, offered the gum to someone who ended up testifying later, like, yes, the same gum that was in the rental car, like, he offered it to me. Like,
yeah, the lady at the point car in rental. The timeline.
It whatever. Was just,
so I don't
it
know.
It just made me so sad, like, all this shit, like, all the dumb shit that he does is just so boyish.
And yeah, like, that's
there's
the
like
thing.
This innocent, like stupid nature to it that breaks my heart.
Yeah, he. So Odin Lloyd, who he was convicted of murdering, and who he clearly did murder, allegedly,
his friend. Also.
His friend dating his fiance's sister.
Yes.
Odin Lloyd, he picked him up in Boston, drove him to North Attleboro where he lived, where Odin Lloyd has no reason to be, mm-hmm. knows nobody there except Aaron Hernandez, and he kills him in cold blood, like fucking meters from his house. Mm-hmm. Like, again.
And discard, like hides the body in a field near his house.
Yeah. And again, I think that it all goes back to. I think Aaron Hernandez, in his own words, was a fucking thug. And I think that he had the path cleared to escalate that behavior to murder. And I feel like if he wasn't dead or wasn't in prison, there would be more people that he had murdered because he had absolutely
no
impulse
it.
Control. He had no problem doing it and did not seem to feel any remorse or any type of, I mean, none of the shit slowed him down in any way. They mentioned that he was extremely paranoid after the first one, but
about getting caught.
Yeah, but it just
not like
didn't,
racked with guilt. I mean, we can't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From interpreting his text messages and you know.
Yeah, I mean, the culture of the NFL or any institution, like we talked about cheer last week, any institution that is focused on using people's bodies and minds to win something as mm-hmm. inconsequential as a fucking football game. And all it comes down to at the end of the day is money. I'm not telling anyone anything you don't know, but Aaron Hernandez made these fucking pasty, evil, rich white men even richer by being good at something. And they fucking overlooked everything else because of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're just as fucking complicit as this. Yes. Man-child who murdered people in cold blood, allegedly.
Yeah.
It was fucking wild. It was wild. It seemed like there was no motive for any.
That was something interesting. So the double murder happened before the Odin Lloyd mm-hmm. murder, and they this double murder in I can't remember where it was. Was that near Boston?
Aside Rue nightclub or whatever the fuck.
Oh, yeah. It was nightclub. In Boston.
Yeah. Crew nightclub.
They were coming whatever. Up short on leads because they couldn't establish a motive.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, there was none.
There wasn't any. He just fucking snapped and shot
crazy.
People just because, yes. He...
Yeah. And the only break in this case was because of the Odin Lloyd murder. I guess they, I don't know.
They had to searched his aunt's house where they found the car that
the
he
car
had
that
stashed.
Had been hiding for a year.
Yeah.
And that was the break in the case. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, the whole thing was just really, really wild.
Yeah. And yet watching the thing, like, I kept feeling all these conflicted feelings about Aaron Hernandez, and then fucking Tom Brady's face would pop up, and I'd be like, why couldn't they have taken Tom Brady?
I alternated between, I felt like this kid was deeply, deeply troubled.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was like,
nobody
oh,
was
but
there.
He had
to...
such a troubled upbringing.
Yeah.
And look at his sad face.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady's face.
And then
I have no compunction. About
I had the
him.
Same thing with fucking every time Tim Tebow
yes.
would show up. I was like, fuck you, you fucking sanctimonious motherfucker. Like, yes, why couldn't they? I mean, Aaron Hernandez at least was straight up murdering people. People like Tim Tebow and fucking Tom Brady are just.
I mean, I blame both of them. Tim Tebow is his teammate at Florida.
Yeah.
Whatever. University of Florida. And he was like an actively Bible thumping mm-hmm. vocal, like the cheerleader of trying to establish a squeaky clean image
yep.
for the team. And,
yeah.
Like, make
and Urban Meyer the same.
Yeah.
Who then went on to fuck the daughter of like a booster. And
oh, really?
Yes. Because I was like, that guy seriously fucked up vibes as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, his star has been tarnished allegedly.
Oh,
but
interesting.
Fuck
but yeah, where
people.
Were these people when like Aaron Hernandez needed guidance? Like,
he had dinner at their house.
Do something useful, Tim Tebow. Yeah, anyway.
Tim Tebow is
blood's
too
on
busy.
Your hands, Tebow.
Yeah, he's too busy counting his money and whatever.
Well, at least his career is in the shitter.
Yeah, maybe they'll all get CTE. All the best you can hope for. I mean, you know what sucks though? Tom Brady will just pay for a fucking brain transplant or whatever, and he'll be fine.
Tom Brady drinks so much water, just repaired all his brain damage.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a quarterback. He's not going to have anywhere near the brain damage that someone like Aaron Hernandez had.
The whole thing is wild, but I was kind of sad that it didn't focus more on the, essentially, I will not be convinced that it's not the complicit nature of the NFL. I'm not saying that the NFL made Aaron Hernandez a murderer. Certainly there are hundreds of other players in the league who do not murder people. But right. Like I said,
it did a little bit. Like, I mean, we saw Roger Kraft, who had to testify in his murder trial, throw him under the bus.
Yep.
And it was very sad, like, when they called him, like, seeing Aaron Hernandez, like, he turned into a child.
Yes.
He kept looking to see when he was going to come in, and it looked like, oh, shit, dad's here.
Yeah.
There was the other player who was not Aaron Hernandez's teammate, but talked extensively about how he felt as a gay player in the NFL.
Yeah, Ryan, whoever.
Yeah.
He had a real glow up.
O'Callaghan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he talked about how he gained a bunch of weight because he hated himself, and he threw himself into football and knew that he would play football until he couldn't anymore, and then he was going to kill himself because that's what it felt like being closeted in the NFL. But yeah, thankfully he seems to have had a happier ending. His eyebrows look fierce.
His whole thing, he's real glow up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think the NFL came out looking particularly good, but yeah, it wasn't a hit piece.
Multiple people went on record saying that the Patriots do it right. And I was like, no, I do not want to hear that.
What right?
Like training and just the whole thing. They said that the Patriots is a good organization, which galled me.
I don't see their name anywhere around today on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
I think early in the documentary, there was a scene where Aaron Hernandez is arrested at home and presumably was shirtless, and they cuffed him and then just shoved a shirt on over him. And I guess this became something of an iconic image of him being
Hernandez
perp walked with his shirt on weird. Yeah, Hernandezing became a thing, like kind of a meme. And I was like, I didn't really need any more evidence that Patriots fans are the worst fucking people.
But yeah, fucking
if I did.
Boston, man.
Yeah, trash. No offense to all our Patriots fans listening out there. let's go to a song, and when we come back, we can talk more about this or move on to our favorite Super Bowl snacks. Should we do Rotten to the Core by Ty Siegel or Am I Demon by Danzig?
Let's do Rotten to the Core by Ty Siegel.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more TV on the Radio. We'll be right back. welcome back to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. We were talking about the Aaron Hernandez documentary. You wanted to talk about his
death,
demise. Yeah, that was a wild story.
Yeah, so there are a few things that are wild. First of all, so Aaron Hernandez was acquitted of the double murders.
Yes. 2 days
after that, he killed himself in jail, which... It was 2 days after the trial, a radio station in Boston outed Aaron Hernandez in the most fucking like childish, ridiculous, homophobic, fucking asshole Boston way ever. And 2 days after that, Aaron Hernandez killed himself.
Right.
They didn't make the direct connection that that is why Aaron Hernandez killed himself.
Well, it's apparently more complicated than that.
But yeah, but there was also the second part. There was a very obscure law on the books in Boston called abatement, where if somebody died with a criminal charge pending something.
He was convicted of the Odin Lloyd murder.
Yeah.
But he was
the appeal was pending. That's right. So if an appeal is pending and you die...
You're not there to fight your appeal.
Yeah, so they vacate the conviction. So you're not a convicted murderer.
Right.
So Aaron Hernandez...
Which when they were talking about him getting this information, I was like, oh, that's stupid. It has to be. Like, he must be misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Like, but he wasn't.
It turned out that was actually true. But
they showed the judge saying essentially like...
Because this old fucked up
this law was on the books, but guess I have to do this. And they vacated his conviction.
Yeah.
For his murder of Odin Lloyd.
But
then there was like another logical leap that I think he made that didn't pan out.
I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe that Aaron Hernandez, he wrote to his fiance, "You're rich, babe." And thinking that
he
wouldn't
the
be
correct, I was surprised by after reading many of his texts,
which were from his BlackBerry. I was like, did they not? No, they had the actual keyboard on a BlackBerry, so I don't know why. But anyway, again, fuck Boston, because that clip that they played from the radio show where they made all these fucking lame jokes about him going from being a tight end to a wide end, and
oh, God,
just
I miss that
juvenile fucking disgusting. Fuck you, people. In 2017, I would like to add, I mean, you'd think that we've made progress, and I know 2017 was already the alternate timeline where everything had gone to shit, but I mean, ugh, just disgusting. Anyway, all that aside, what was I saying?
So he wrote to Shay
that she was going to be rich after he died, thinking that he would no longer be a convicted murderer and the Patriots would pay out his $40 million. The remainder of his $40 million contract, which, no, good luck with that.
If anyone has any like insight on this, please feel free to tweet at us at BFF TV on the Radio. But yeah, I don't think just because you're not a murderer means that like you would get your job
here's
back
your money.
Automatically.
Yeah.
Yeah, much less get paid for
being
a contract that you're not playing anymore.
Yes.
But yeah, that was just a wild conclusion to a wild story.
It was really insane because the same. I thought like, oh, this dummy like read something and totally misunderstood and then killed himself. And we were talking during that song. I believe in my heart of hearts that Aaron Hernandez killed himself not thinking through the fact that he would be dead after he did that.
I think
nobody was more surprised by the fact that Aaron Hernandez died than Aaron Hernandez. I think he was like, I've got this figured out. I'm going to get all this money. Oh, but I'm dead.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, bro.
And again, with the fucking... the severe brain damage, I think it was another impulse control thing. I think wild hair that he got and then followed through on. Yeah. And... yeah, the whole story is weirdly tragic. All these needless murders, including Aaron Hernandez's death. I mean, he was a 27-year-old father.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever about quality of life, he certainly had more life left to live. And
yeah, it's such a weird feel-bad story.
Yeah.
Top to bottom.
But again, my big takeaway is that The NFL doesn't give a fuck about anybody who is playing in that league. I was thinking, say that there had been all this evidence that Aaron Hernandez was falsely accused, that they got the wrong guy. Do you think the fucking NFL would give a shit? They would have canceled his contract regardless. I mean,
you mean after, like...
Like, they cut ties with Aaron Hernandez right away. Like, Aaron Hernandez had been a problem, and then they were like, fuck this, we don't need this. And the Patriots never fucking spoke about it again.
I think in those situations, they're probably like, yeah, it's a balancing thing. Like, how long can we keep this person? They don't care if he's doing bad things. They care if it's become too much.
Yeah.
If it becomes a distraction.
If it's
going to
impact their money.
Yeah.
That's all they give a shit about. And yeah, if Aaron Hernandez had been falsely accused of killing these people, he would have ended up in the exact same boat. Aaron Hernandez would have ended up in jail, unless maybe he had hired Jose Baez for the first case.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I can't believe he got acquitted of the second. Yeah. And it basically was because there was no motive. People can't buy that you just fucking snap and kill two people because they spilled a drink on you hours prior.
I still have trouble believing it.
Yeah. But I absolutely think that's what's happened, or that's what happened. But yeah, so the abatement thing was really weird because, as with you, I thought like, oh, this dummy just doesn't understand. And turns out he got that right.
Got half right. Yeah. Got half credit for you, Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And then the family of Odin Lloyd pressed to get that law off the book so his murder could be reinstated.
His conviction was reinstated.
But
that whole coda was so sad to me. Like, I can't imagine how I'd feel if I were the family of a murder victim, but it just, it seems like such a wild use of your will to fight something, to like get someone's conviction like, I understand you want this feeling of justice, but it's so meaningless.
But I don't
I
don't think that their pursual of that, I think they were pursuing getting abatement off the books.
Yeah, and
so,
they did.
Yeah, they did. But so I don't think their motivating factor was to get Aaron Hernandez as a convicted murderer. I think it was that nobody else would then get something.
But it's always going to be meaningless.
Yeah,
like if you have to be dead to get your conviction abated. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I couldn't
nobody
speak.
Wins.
Nobody
wins.
Never been.
Yeah,
exactly. No one wins. What do you think of his fiance Shayana? Like, another sad thing is like his family was sort of there for him during the first trial and then his second trial. I mean,
about Tanya.
Oh my God. Yes.
Tanya Singleton, his cousin who was in the middle of chemo,
died of cancer.
But essentially became like a mother figure to him and was in the middle of chemo. Went to jail in her refusal to testify against Aaron Hernandez. I mean, I don't think anybody who has ever fucking called themselves ride or die can use that unless you have gone to jail and interrupted your chemo treatment.
Yeah.
Like, she's the only ride or die bitch I recognize now.
Yeah.
That is wild to me. Absolutely wild. And yet again, a searing fucking indictment of this fucked up country that you will put a woman in the middle of chemo treatment in prison for refusing to fucking talk during a trial. But yet those motherfuckers in Congress can sit there and fucking tweet out their bullshit theories about, like, we prove that it's I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. I mean, that fucking Boston cop was describing that situation and said that she, you know, went to prison for him and interrupted her cancer treatment and died shortly after, which to me, it's like, that's a real indictment of how we treat people in prison. Like, you can't get your fucking health care because you're in prison. That's disgusting.
Not only that, but you can go to prison. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, get yourself a fucking Cousin Tanya behind you.
No shit. So Cousin Tanya,
I mean, she also did sort of introduce him to associates that helped him kill someone. So
It's a wash.
pick the right Cousin Tanya.
Cousin Tanya, her husband left her for Aaron Hernandez's mom.
That's a whole weird thing.
And then they're still together, I guess.
Are they?
So I don't know. Yes, they are still together. I don't know.
Congrats to those kids.
True love.
Glad someone found
true love
happiness.
Will out, I guess. But yeah, it was just a wild ride. But we were talking about Shay, his fiance, who split from her sister.
So I was really, she was also indecipherable to me. She was there for him the whole time. There were a lot of recorded jailhouse, presumably, conversations between them in the documentary where, I mean, obviously she's frequently upset and frustrated with him. I get that they have a kid together, like she wants to stand behind him, but I couldn't tell if she was just sticking by her man or if she really believed he didn't do it.
No, she obviously believed he did it.
At some point, wouldn't you cut your losses? She had to be horrible to live with, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that. Like, there were never any allegations of, like, domestic abuse, but he had to be a tough guy to live with.
Yeah. I can only assume that if you're in a relationship with Aaron Hernandez, it's in a mother capacity. I don't believe that I don't know about his sexuality. It seems like he was very closeted, either bi or homosexual. Mm-hmm. And one of the real heartbreaking things to me was you forwarded me that article with all of the text messages, mm-hmm. which were, yeah.
Difficult to decipher at
difficult
times.
Difficult to decipher at times, for sure. But also, anytime he expressed anything to a man, he was like, no homo, homo, which I had never seen in the wild before. I did not know people use that.
Unironically.
And just that level of having to like live with self-hatred like that is fucking, it's tough. I mean, I was shocked to see that. And I thought that was heartbreaking because, again, so juvenile.
Yeah.
I mean, a 26-year-old man saying no homo is just heartbreaking.
They read like text from a teenager. Some of my other takeaways from that article, which we can post it. It was in the Boston Globe. It was essentially just transcripts of his texts over like the 10 weeks, I think, before his arrest. Tim Tebow at some point texted him some inane bullshit, probably like, you know, a Bible verse. I don't remember what it was, but he just responded, suck it.
Well, because it was, so I'm sorry to bring it down.
No, I knew it was
the two tears in a bucket. And then
no, it was the rhyming.
Yeah.
Column so response. Anyway, I choose to believe he was telling Tim Tebow.
I would love to believe he told Tim Tebow to fuck off.
At some point, Bill Belichick, he's the coach of the Patriots, right? Texted him something and signed it BB, which is a perfect grandpa move. Julian Edelman sent him some sort of nerdy like wordplay text that sounded like it was a veiled threat, but I was like, oh, of course Julian Edelman's an asshole.
It was like the word of the day is facade, which is the face we show to
fuck off.
Yeah, so whatever.
And also at some point he texted his personal trainer asking for a smoothie recipe, which really broke my heart.
Yeah, it was very sad. There was a part in this documentary where they talk about how his paranoia was off the charts, and so he wanted to get a different place, like a more secure place.
He got like a flop house.
But he got like a flop house apartment where he could smoke weed.
Where he wasn't escaping from his gigantic mansion. Like a palatial mansion in Boston suburbs.
It was where he could smoke weed. And everyone was like, I mean, that's fucking weird. Why would you do that? And I was like, that's the most normal thing you could do. Like,
I just want to be alone.
I'm like, that's the first time I deeply relate to Aaron Hernandez. Like, I just want a shithole where I can go and be quiet for a bit and just smoke some fucking weed. And they had an extended interview with this dream catcher lady across the hall whose door
was so annoying.
What the fuck did she have to do with anything other than she saw him in the hallway and he wasn't friendly? I was like,
truly
this is
the worst kind of nosy neighbor.
Real filler. Like this.
Well, she testified in court at some point.
She
did? I thought I saw her pop up again. I was like, oh, this bitch.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she was really annoying. Yeah, real busybody. Mind your business, lady.
Yeah, no shit. He just wanted to go fucking smoke weed in like a shitty apartment for a while. Like, let the guy do that.
Yeah.
Like, I also love the guy who was like, if Aaron Hernandez had been able to just like buy weed, like,
yes,
if
one there of was, the breakout stars yeah. for me was Tim Sansucci, I believe his name is
Tim Sansucci,
father,
aka
of,
Bobby Moynihan.
Oh, okay. Yes,
in 20 years,
truly like a cartoon man.
Yes,
but he's the father of one of Aaron's childhood friends who,
yeah,
was also bisexual and I guess knew at an early age that Aaron was gay or bi,
had a relationship with Aaron.
Okay,
allegedly.
right. But yeah, he had a coming out moment with his father, and it was kind of sweet. It was like he's a big football dad, but mm-hmm. came to accept his gay son.
No homo.
Yeah, no homo. But then that guy was like, he essentially made the case for marijuana legalization, yes, and suggested that Aaron's life might have gone differently if he didn't have to associate with criminals to score weed, which that might be something of a logical leap. But I agree. Decriminalizing weed might, yes, have helped a lot of people.
Yes.
What else? Oh, my other breakout star was, we saw a lot of talking head from Odin Lloyd's friend, Mike Massey, mm-hmm, I think his name was, who was truly like a cartoonish looking like 80s movie henchman guy.
Yeah,
he had
definitely
long like stringy hair.
I just showing my inherent like, I guess just, yeah, my problematic, I assumed it was a very, very stark backdrop.
He looked like he was in prison.
He looked like he was in prison.
I think he, yeah, I thought the same thing, and they never made mention of that, but he looked like, it looked like a jailhouse,
yeah,
interview.
Didn't it?
But I think maybe that was just his style. But yeah, he was a friend of Odin Lloyd's and talked extensively about what a dumbass Aaron Hernandez is, including saying he had no savoir faire. Like,
Sabor. Sabor faire. Yeah, it was
very funny.
Yeah.
But he knew Odin Lloyd through something called semi-professional football,
yes,
which was a revelation to me. And I was like, oh, is there some sort of like minor league football circuit?
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that most football NFL players come from college. So I looked up semi-professional football, and it's basically like
a pay-to-play league.
You just pay to play. Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like you still get exploited for someone's profit, except instead of getting paid and maybe getting paid a lot,
you're paying
get
them.
You get nothing. Yeah. You get nothing out of it.
You pay them.
Yeah, it seems like a great idea.
Yeah.
So what is our semi-pro powder puff team going to be called?
Yeah, we're going to have to workshop that.
I'm going to say the Cousin Tanyas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
The Gronkettes.
The Singletonians.
Singletonians.
I'm very worried about Gronk.
Are you?
So Gronk
recently
is
recently retired.
Yeah, there was a Page Six article.
I can't believe we're at 10:49 and we're just now talking about Gronk.
Who refused to talk about Aaron Hernandez.
Sure.
Good buddy. Fellow tight end. I saw a picture of Gronk. He's in Miami, apparently just at bars, willy-nilly inviting everybody to the Gronk tailgate. Like, everybody is invited
is
to the Gronk tailgate.
Is he a color commentator now?
I think literally from a tailgate. No, I don't believe so.
I hope he has his shirt off.
I don't believe so. But Gronk is now, like, scary skinny.
What?
Like, he is not...
Well, it makes sense
not
that you would drop
at all
a ton of weight if
sure
you...
Sure. But he looks, I mean, he looks like one of those people, like...
Is he hotter
on
now?
The, but no, he looks like one of those, like, post Biggest Loser people with, like,
wow,
just folds of skin. He looks, he has aged.
That's
the CTE
up.
Has kicked in, for sure.
Yeah, Gronk's, I mean, I typically am drawn more toward a slender man, but Gronk seems like the type who wouldn't really work unless he is a giant beefcake.
Yeah.
Well, get well soon, Gronk. yeah, so what, any Super Bowl thoughts you have? Do you have any, who's in the Super Bowl? Do you know who's in the Super Bowl?
There's the San Francisco Gold Miners, and
okay,
then the Kansas City Indian people, Chiefs, I guess. I don't know. I do have some thoughts, actually. I would like to say that I learned from Drew McGarry's Sports Jamboree, mm-hmm, that the 49ers' speed on defense is truly amazing. So that's my thought.
Well, good. Do you know who's favored to win?
I think the 49ers.
Great.
Yeah. PSA.
If I see one fucking couch on fire on my block, I'm going to come out there with a baseball bat and join the looting.
From noon today, they have shut down the entire block on Mission from 17th to 16th. I have to move my car by noon. PSA for anyone who has their car on the 3200 block of Mission, move it by noon. If you don't want it flipped and buried under a burning mattress tonight.
So if the Niners win, where are we going to go loot?
If clearly the Skechers store. I don't know. Speaking of looting, not related to that, but speaking of like the Homes Sarah Cristalino sponsorship that we're always trying so hard for.
Get at us, Cristalino.
The Aaron Hernandez part in the documentary where he's talking about getting a Smith & Wesson contract and like
talking to Nike
can we talk to Nike about like doing some prison jumpsuits? Like Hernandez just
kind of funny
seemed to maintain a real upbeat attitude throughout the whole thing.
That was a lot of it. Like a lot of his phone conversations were, I mean, it just he was completely without affect.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, his mom
without a frontal lobe, and he was like,
"Oh no, my cell is pretty cozy." Like,
yeah, completely without a frontal lobe. Like my thing is, I think that yes, Aaron Hernandez could have been directed however people wanted to direct him, and I feel like yes, he fell in with a bad group, whatever. But again, the NFL and college football cleared a path for him to face no consequences for anything, and if. And it was shown that he had the dedication and he had the apparently the talent to do good things. And I just feel like the NFL is a evil, corrupting organization that will never steer people towards the right choice. But anyway, aside from that, I don't know where we're going looting, but I would also like to say that if the 49ers do win today, the parade is on Wednesday ending at City Hall. So don't plan on trying to get anywhere downtown on Wednesday if they do win, because it's going to be a shit show.
All right. Thanks for the hot tips. What are you going to wear to the parade?
Oh, I mean, I'm just going to be at City Hall, obviously.
You're going to be on one of the floats.
From Tuesday. And then a friend of the show, Steven, just tweeted at us that the team name is the BFF TV on the Radio Skinny Gronks, which I like. It's a little long, but we'll just have wraparound on the T-shirt. It'll go the whole way around. So I like it.
All right.
I'm going to see if I can get those printed before the Super Bowl party
today.
Before
the parade.
Who do you think is going to win, or who do you care about?
I don't know. I couldn't name a single player. I don't know. And
Bill Belichick.
Best of luck to everyone. I hope it ends in a tie and a handshake.
I hope Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't call anyone babe. That's all I hope.
Is that his showboating move?
No, shit. That's what...
We haven't talked about our showboating move. I forgot
mine
to
is
update mine.
Now and forever, and always has been and always will be, the jerk-off motion at the end line, or the touchdown line, or the Super Bowl line, or the
Super Bowl line, whatever
line
it's called.
The tight end line? I don't know. Learned about tight ends.
I think you go to left field and then spike the ball and then do the jerk-off motion.
Okay. Bill Belichick did attend Rob Gronkowski's Super Bowl party in Miami.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so that's nice.
Man, Miami
The Gronk beach party, but he made it. I'm trying to see if I can find Bill Belichick is wearing a very ill-advised plaid shirt and white. White shorts. It's really something. I'm trying to find a picture of Gronk, who's now scary skinny.
Well, we'll tweet that out.
Yeah. I do have some other notes from when I was watching. Some of my notes were Lee Bodden. I said, yes, please. Is there a Mrs. Bodden? If anyone does know that, if you'd like to tweet that. He's the guy, he's an NFL player with extremely gorgeous eyelashes.
Is he the one who retired after 1 year?
No, that's Chris Borland. Borland, who now looks like he should be wearing a Patagonia fleece vest. And I hope to see him at Trick Dog later today. But he's smart, and I hope he doesn't have CTE. He left the NFL after 1 year playing for the 49ers. Do you think he knows Cap? He seems like he and Cap would probably be.
Maybe. Tight. Did they overlap?
I also hope Cap doesn't have CTE. I hope nobody
Cap
played
was
football has
denied
CTE.
The opportunity to get CTE, which we've talked about extensively. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. Go Niners, I guess. And I'll see you guys at Sephora.
Yeah. It. I have all the DVDs except for the very last two episodes. Somehow that DVD got lost. So I gave it to somebody and they were super into it. And then they were like, how does it end?